Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident bishop of the Loyalty House International, Abbe Dowenya, off the Dowenya Afenya Link Road. He oversees many churches, both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Father, we thank you for this evening. We give you praise. We give you glory. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and in your power. Come in your own special way this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Wherever you are, put your hands together for Jesus and take your seats. Good to come your way again this evening for a short Bible study, for a Congress service. And I believe that we are not going to leave here the same as we came. And you are not going to leave the presence of God the same wherever you are. Wherever you are in the presence of God. And you are not going to leave the presence of God the same as you came. Some of you are even sitting in the kitchen listening and watching. But the presence of God is with you, and things are happening where you are. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So already, powerful things and mighty things are happening in your car, in the office, at home, wherever you are. Mighty things and powerful things are happening. Receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Well, this evening, again, I intend to talk about principles, some important principles. Now, principles are principles. What works for the unbeliever will work for the believer if it's a principle that you are obeying. Hallelujah. So a principle is a deep understanding of how something works. A principle is a deep understanding of how something works. A principle is something that allows you to develop. You know, so it was a principle that allowed human beings to develop the bicycle, the wheelbarrow, car, electricity, and so many things. And we are all aware of some powerful principles when we did physics, and we did a lot of these things in secondary school, and those of us who did art, we stopped at a point. But there are principles, do you get it, that makes things work. For instance, and the principles work for everybody. The laws of gravity works for everybody unless a supernatural force intervenes. The laws of gravity work for everybody. The laws, Archimedes principles, works for everybody. And the principles have been used to develop things. You say the abstract of a body, an object immersed in water is equal to water displaced. Is that not so? It works for every, Ruben, you are surprised. It works for everybody. And that principle is what it has been used also to develop things. You get it? Like the ship, isn't it? Like the ship. And what are some of the principles? Newton's law of motion. Yeah, what does it even say? What does it say? The first law of motion. A body continues to remain in its constant motion of precision unless an external force is applied to it. Okay. Are you doing science too? Okay. You are whispering something. What's the second law? Second law. Use this principle. Uh-huh. The force of a body is equal to mass times acceleration. No, I did science for first term form 4. And one or two reasons made me to stop. I was just annoyed and angry with something, so I stopped. But otherwise, I remember all these things. Anyway, so, but Bishop David, you are warm. Okay. Okay, what's the third one? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So what has this principle been used to develop, to make? As you are sitting there talking about this and that and that. What has been used to do? What has it been used to do? Rubin, you are now looking at him. Okay, so principles, they use it for, and principles work for everyone. For instance, the laws of sowing and reaping. It works for a Ghanaian, it works for Nigerian, it works for believer, it works for unbeliever, it works for everybody. So principles are principles. So today, we want to talk about certain principle that works for everyone. Hallelujah. And I'm falling in love with this book, Seven Great Principles. Principles of so many things. Principles of so many things that we are going to believe God to learn and to allow these principles to work. Because when you make the principles flow, you get it. Even in the supernatural, there are principles. When you make them flow, you reap from it. Hallelujah. So the principle we want to talk about today are the seven great principles for a great change. Seven great principles for a great change. Hallelujah. Because you need a change to come into your life. You need a change to come into your life. So now, Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. Galatians 1, 23. Say, but they had heard only, that he which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Galatians 1, 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. In other words, a great change had occurred in the life of somebody that he has made an about 10. Things that he used to do, he has made a 180 degree turn from it. That is what we call a change. A change. He once was doing it, but now he has stopped it. He has gone the opposite direction. So many people claim to be born again, but there's no great change in their lives. And led to preach this, especially this great principle of great change, because over just this short period of the COVID, a lot of things have been revealed in people who otherwise you thought they were born again and they are changed. Do you get it? But just these few weeks, these few months, many things have been revealed as to whether there was a change, there is a change, or there wasn't, or there isn't a change. Hallelujah. But you see, people who say they are born again, but there's no great change in their life. Nothing has changed in your life. After you are saved, you must fight to experience a great change in your life. Well, the change is not just going to happen. Because what is the point of salvation if there's no change in your life? What is the point? That you say you are saved and there's no change in your life. And also, it isn't because you were not saved or the gospel of salvation is not true. It is true. You are born again. But you have to try and make sure that change takes place. You have to try and make sure that change takes place. Now, what are the principles? What are you going to do that this change will take place? Number one, after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you grow up spiritually. You see, after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you grow up spiritually. You see, so you are born again, but the change that is supposed to be seen in you will not be seen if you don't grow up spiritually. And then let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal,
even as unto babies in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Do you see? So Paul is saying that you are not spiritual because you are a baby in Christ. We have come to see that man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. Now, for you to change, when you get born again, you have to feed your spirit. For your spirit to become matured, hallelujah, you have to feed your spirit. Your spirit also is your heart. And if you are not able to feed your spirit or your heart, for your heart to be matured, you have a very deep understanding of what you are doing, there will not be any change in your behavior. That is why many Christians get born again. But when you see them, you are surprised. You are surprised. Because they have not allowed, when they got born, they didn't allow their spirit. Because as newborn babies, so when you get born again, your spirit is now, you may be old, you may be how many years, whatever, but your spirit is now new to this new life. That's why it is described as a baby. That you need to let your spirit grow. You need to let your spirit what? Grow. And if you don't let your spirit grow, in other words, if you don't allow the word to enter your heart, your nothing will change about you. Hallelujah. Nothing will change about you. Because it is when the heart changes that your behavior also will change. You get it? So nothing will change about you. If you got born again, your spirit remains a tiny, tiny, undeveloped baby. It will not influence anything about you. Your spirit must grow. Babies don't have any say in decision-making anywhere they are. They don't have any say. If you are a child and you are in a house, you are a baby in a home, and you are in whatever you are, wherever you are, and they are taking decisions, they are doing major things, they will not involve you because you are a baby. Your decisions don't matter. Something else will control you. People will always make decisions concerning you. We are going to have elections. People are going to vote. Even for that, they say that unless you are 18 years and above, in other words, for you to decide who rules the nation, you are expected to reach a certain maturity. You are expected to reach a certain maturity. So in the same way, if you are a Christian, you are going to be able to influence certain things in your life. Because in your life, the changes that are going to have to take place, they need a certain maturity. So for you to make those changes occur, take those decisions, you need to grow up. Your spirit needs to grow up. Hallelujah. Look, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the New International Version, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. They are what? In conflict. Conflict with each other. So you see that your spirit is in conflict with your flesh. And both your spirit and your flesh want to control you. You see, take decisions for you. Now, whichever one is matured and you have trained to be matured is the one that will take those decisions for you. That is why you need to let your spirit grow and become matured, have strength over your body, hallelujah, so that you can, the changes that must take place in your life can take place. Yes, it takes place by decisions which you need maturity to take. Now, what is the second principle of change? We are talking about a great change to happen in your life. After you are born again, a great change will come in your life if you renew your mind with the word of God. And I'll read for Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Do what? Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you see, transformation takes place because of the renewing or reprogramming of your mind. Renewing or reprogramming of your mind. You are from somewhere. You have entered into another program, if you like. Now, for you to be able to let that program affect you and to change you and to make you, you need to now take away from you all the old things and renew or reprogram yourself with the new life. You get it? And that's what they call renewing your mind. Renew your mind. Many Christians are out of Egypt, but Egypt is still in them. They have not seen that they are no longer in Egypt, but they are out of Egypt. So they are still behaving as though they are in Egypt. But you have gone through the Red Sea. You have gone through a certain form of baptism, and you have now been delivered from Egypt. The time is now for you to show to people that now you are living a new life. You have changed. Hallelujah. Now, since you found Christ, your mother is waiting, your friends are waiting. Everybody has heard that you are born again. But the only thing they have not seen is any change in you. There has not been any change in you. The only thing they've seen is what they have heard with their mouth, that you are born again. You say you are born again. But there's no change in you. But you have to have it. And it's true, you were born again when you gave your life to Christ. But you now have to let the change happen in your life, be seen in your life, by starting a program of renewing your mind. Because whatever you put in is what will come out. It's like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what will come out. And so the changes are going to take place in your life depending on whether you are renewing your mind or not. Because your mind, which will also enter your heart, is what will control you. What will make you take decisions. That's the spirit of your mind. Not just the mind, the spirit of the way you think. Hallelujah. But many people, we are born again. As I said, there is no change. There is no change. Nothing has happened. Hallelujah. We need to do things to show that we are changed. We are born again. You need to let the people know that it's not a song, but it's practical. That the things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The drinks I used to drink, I drink them no more. Oh, been a great change since I met Christ. There must be a change. And you must be the person to ensure. Because now you have the spirit to make you change. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 22, sorry. Ephesians 4, 22. It says that Ephesians 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Who should do it? You. Put it off. Which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You put it off. And be ye renewed. And be what? And be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be it what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. You see? So there must be a change. You put off the old man. Now what is the old man? The old man is the way you used to live. You know? The things you used to do. The old man, which makes people see you. And they say, wow, this guy is a wild guy. Now you are telling them you are born again. There's a new man. Now let this new man be seen. Because indeed, when you got born again, your spirit was regenerated. And you became new. So the seven great principles we learned, that is now we are developing on it now. about the man is a spirit, has soul, listen to the body. You are going to a necessity of developing it now to affect us practically. Practically, to change our lives. What is the use of hearing anything that will not change your life? You see? So practically, to change your life. Bible says there was an old man before you got born again. Now put it off. The old man used to make you do things, go to places, say things, enjoy things, chase girls. Now you are new. So put on the new man. Do you get it? Put on the new man. And then when you put on the new man, people will see gradually that a change has occurred in your life. Is that not simple? Yes. That is when your message, people can look at you and they will not even need to hear a word of salvation. They can look at you and ask why you got saved, why you are changed. Because I looked at my friends. As I was in school, many people spoke to me about Jesus. I never gave my life to Christ. But I visited my friends and I looked at them. And I realized that they had indeed changed. So I told them, can you lead me to say the prayer we used to say in school so that I can also be like you? It's as simple as that. So I saw a change. I saw a change in their lives. And that change changed me. It was the change. So your life itself must be a gospel. Your life itself. Has anybody come to tell you that, look, now something has changed about you? Since you got born again in your office, have they noticed anything has changed about you? No. They haven't seen anything. They can't say the difference between when you were in Egypt and when you have come out of it. They can't tell the difference. Nothing is different. Everything is the same. The only thing that has changed is your name in the New Believer School. That's all that has changed. But nothing has changed about you. But you must, you see, it means that there must be a great change in your life. Hallelujah. And it comes when you renew your mind by the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the third principle to make bring a change in your life, and a great change in your life, it's a great change, I tell you, in your life, is when, after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you listen to a lot of preaching. A lot of preaching. You see, because the things you have listened, that's why I say what you have put into a computer. You see, Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you listen, when you get born again, you have to now expose yourself to a lot of preaching, because see, the things you have heard, the things, preaching means what you are hearing. And when you were also in the old man, the things you were doing was all as a result of what you were hearing. So now you have heard a lot of things and you are born again. How do you remove those things from you? How do you deprogram this computer, this self? How do you do it? You have to now begin to listen to a lot of preaching. Preaching is the word of God. Preaching is a word of God. So you have to listen to a lot of preaching. Anytime there's opportunity to hear preaching, listen to it. Something is happening to you. Something is going into you. You have to listen to become an addict to the word of God, to preaching. Some of you, you can live a whole week and the only message you have heard is the message you heard on Sunday on radio. You have not made any attempt even to listen to it again. When we ask you, even the seven great principles I preach about man is a spirit, has a soul, lives a body. When I ask you about it, you see that you remember just 7%. You have forgotten already. You remember only 7%. But if you had listened to it over and over again, you will see that change. You know, when you were hearing, something came into your heart. Wow, the word is great. I'm going to change. This is going to happen to me. But you realize that it didn't last because you stopped listening. It is when you keep hearing. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The repetition is important. It is by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you need to listen and listen the word of God. As the spirit of the word will enter into you. Hallelujah. The spirit of God will enter into you. Ezekiel 2, the spirit entered into me as he spake. The spirit, as you keep hearing, as you keep hearing, so dear friend, I want to encourage you to expose yourself to the word of God. Our prophet, Bishop, always says how he exposed himself to preaching, and he still does. One day he was listening to the word of God by Kenneth Hagin, and as he heard the voice, from today you can preach. A spirit literally left the message he was preaching and entered into him. Because Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak. And so when you expose yourself to the word, you are exposing yourself to spirit and you are exposing yourself to life. That's why life comes to you. Sometimes you are depressed about a certain situation, and you hear the word of God, and you open your heart. Suddenly, you see that life comes into that area. Light also comes in that area, because you expose yourself. So, dear friend, people are expecting a change in your life. Your parents are expecting a change in your life. Your friends are expecting a change in your life. That change will happen. That change will happen if you expose yourself to the word of God, listening to preaching. Hallelujah. You listen to preaching. The next principle, that a change will occur in your life. A great change will come into your life if you change your friends. Look at your friend who is with you, maybe listening to this program together or attending church with you. Look at him. Tell your friend, did you hear what the bishop said? If you want a great change to come into your life, change your friends. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33, the NIV says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Hallelujah. Bad friends. You see, when you come to church, how many hours do you spend? You spend just about 2 or 3 hours. After church, when you leave church, the rest of the days, you are with your friends. We are with your friends. Whether what you heard will affect you or not depends on the friends you are walking with and you are flowing with. And your friends have influence on you. So if you don't have good friends, and many of you don't have good friends, when you got born again, you should have changed that friend. Because see, your life might change that. The old friends, when they see you, you look odd and feel odd in their midst. I mean, I wouldn't be able to walk with my friend when I got born. It wasn't going to be possible. I went to my friends, and by the time I will leave, either they will not like me or they will like me. Some will say, look, don't let us walk with this guy again. I'll leave and you are crying. Because I am now born again. And I don't have to. I need to make you see. Today, I don't know all those, except you are born again, I don't know where all those friends are. You get it? So leave your old friends. Some of you, your old friends, even in terms of boyfriend, girlfriend, are still your buddies. You know, are still your buddies. You've been born again for some time. You don't have friends in church. You don't have any Christian friends. You say the Christian friends are boring. You know why they are boring? Because your old life is still there. So obviously the songs will be boring to you. Obviously the parties will be boring to you. Their kind of parties will be boring to you. Obviously their company will be boring to you. Because the old life, if you have put on the new man, you would enjoy their company. But you have not put on the new man. That's why their company is boring to you. But I tell you, the company of the brethren is not boring. It's not boring. I had friends. We used to do things. When I got born again, I got into new company. And my, they made me to know what is real life. They made me to know what is real life. What is joy? What is peace? It didn't come from beer or cigarette or no. No. But you see, it was an effort to change friends. Because I knew that I couldn't put on the new man and then walk with people in the old order. It wasn't going to be possible. Either I will change them or they will change me. But I want you to know that sometimes some of these things are more powerful than what. Until you're at a certain stage, brother, don't try. If I don't go to them, who will change them? You see, first of all, when you board a plane, they're given instructions of safety. They always say that in case of emergency, oxygen mask will drop from the cabin on top of you. When it comes, make sure you first fix it. If you are a child, if you are with a child, make sure you fix your oxygen mask first before you attempt to fix that on the child. Do you know why? You have to save your life first. But sometimes when you are going to put the mask on the child may struggle with you. The child may not understand what you are doing. So by the time you finish, by the time you put the mask on, both you and the child, you are gone. So you first have to put the oxygen on you first. So when you get born again, assume that you are the one and the unbelieving is the child with you. Otherwise, by the time you are both gone. Are you understanding me? So don't think that you are wiser than God. He said, look, don't company with bad people. They would have a way of affecting you. And you see, anytime I say this thing, these days I'm even becoming a bit worried when I say this, because sometimes, even in the church, making friends is becoming dangerous. Even within the church. Because some have come in who are supposed to be saved, but they are not actually saved. I'm talking about, I'm not saying there will not be problems. I'm not saying, but you see, some too have come, and their main aim is that they have not changed. They are just come to disturb people. So we can hear stories of people who are in the church, and you visit them, but then you realize you are a goner. But then you realize things are happening to you. So sometimes, even in the church, you need to know the friend you keep. Even within the brethren, you need to compromise. Because, and also within the church, not everybody has the same vision as you. Not everybody. That's even within the born again. That's how Jesus preached about proton. Proton means first things first, order of priority. Sometimes you may have the decision of choosing among good things, which one is the best, which one is the highest, if you like. Do you get it? So even in the church, among good friends, depending on where you are going to, you need to know who you have to walk with and flow with to help you to get there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So a great change will come if you are able to change your friend, and at every level, you may have to, even like the snake will shed the skin, at every level, depending on where you want to go to, you need to change friends. Some of you, as you are here today, or you are listening to me, you should have gone a bit higher. But the company you are keeping, they have made you so comfortable where you are. So comfortable. Any attempt to move ahead, away from them, is resisted and made you to feel like you are too much. You are doing too much. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Do you get it? So look at the friends you work with. If you work with liars, eventually you start lying. If you work with thieves, eventually you start stealing. If you work with people who see nothing wrong with fornication, eventually you also start doing it. Do you get it? But if even you have that problem and you're working with people who don't walk in fornication, people who always are talking against it, somehow it will rub on you. But then you realize you have been delivered. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the great change will happen if you are able to change your friends. And let me tell you something. Some of you started so well. Some of you started so well. But the friend you've met is what has made you what you are today. You started so well. You started doing well in church. Started doing well, going about preaching, doing basenta work, doing so well. But then you met a friend. You met a friend who had not put on the new man and was still walking in the old man, introduced you to so many things. Now today, he has made you so strong in the old life again that you stand against anybody who tells you how to live in the new man. Yes. Come on. You need to see, Jesus told the people when they were coming to be baptized and everything, John the Baptist, he told them, he said, look, you are coming to church, all of you are coming to church, but see, bear fruit that befits repentance. Let there be a change in your life. Hallelujah. And that change comes when you change friends. Let's say it's a principle. Principles work for everybody. If today I'm here and I decide to go and make friends with people who don't believe in certain things, people who are liars, people who are thieves, people who are disloyal, but I realize it has affected me. It has affected me because it says, show me your friend and I'll show your character. So sometimes when you see, that's why sometimes When you are going to place, they make interview, they do interview, they'll be asking you certain things. These days, when you're going for visits in certain embassies, they go to your Facebook and they look at your friends. And some of you, when you are going, you think that you change your address. These people, they know how to go deep when you started Facebook. They look at your friends and so before you are even interviewed, they know you. So even now, the unbelievers know that, show me who you fellowship with. So those of you who just anything on Facebook, you go and align with. Twitter is doing that. They also go and become part of it. Facebook is doing that. You go and befriend that person. But anyway, one day you are going for an interview, they will just go to your Facebook page, look friends, and you see what will happen to you. And sometimes you go and make unnecessary comments. Unnecessary comments. I mean, this evening also, I saw the student who had finished writing their exam, I think their first paper. And the student just has finished his paper. And then he was just on video, JSHS student too, insulting the president. When I saw, I said, oh, this guy is finished. And I think whoever, now the video has gone viral. It gone viral. He was just talking. Upon all the, you see, you don't know. You see, you just do, I just said, this guy is a goner. That's it. That's it. Your school is this, that. And you are just talking. So be careful. Some of you go to Facebook, everybody is your friend. Everybody is your friend. One day I saw a church member. And when I went to your Facebook, this malam who doubles money, a malam who doubles money, this person who can make you turn into a snake. I mean, I said, but who is this guy? Is he a magician or someone who has joined the church or what? So I myself became afraid of the person. The person was being asked to allow to join this particular Facebook page. You know, this page, you have to allow. And nobody wanted to admit the person. When they go to if you are here, you can't even be here because you're not allowed in. But nobody, because we went to the Facebook, we saw the friends, hey, Ojato, something, one by one, the money will be coming, and you see someone with snake head. So I said, man, maybe you didn't even know, and you just joined yourself. But you see, it is casting a shadow on you, a certain shadow on you. You get it? So the friends you keep, maybe you didn't even go with them to go and do that thing, but the company is having an effect on you. You get it? It's a principle. The company you keep, it's a principle. You get it? So ask yourself, ask your friend, are you a good friend that I'm working with? After you're born again, a great change will come into your life if you fellowship a lot. if you fellowship a lot. You see, some people say, why you do too much? Why do you always go to church? Why do you always, every church, every meeting you are there? You see, during this COVID, some of the people that I've heard doing bad things, there are people that you don't normally see fellowshipping. Because, hey, COVID has come, no fellowship. So they are doing whatever they want to do. And suddenly the principle has started working. But you have stopped fellowshipping. You have stopped fellowshipping. So the principle is working. The principle, and it's a principle, it's in Hebrews 10:25. In case you don't know, it's in the Bible. Hebrews 10:25. Said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Have you seen what the day approaching? Look, fellowship is like putting coals together. If coals of fire are together, you see that they all burn. They all burn. But if you take one coal out of the pack and take it outside, by the time you realize the fire of the under coal begins to go down. And then suddenly the fire is quenched. And so you are the Christian coal. And all of us together are the coal burning together. Now, if you take yourself out, you are going to what? Your fire is going to be quenched. That is it. It's a principle. You can't do anything about the absence of an object immersed in water is equal to water displaced. You can't do anything about it. It's a law. It's a principle. The laws of gravity, you can't do. If I jump right now, I'll come down. Unless a supernatural power comes in. Yeah. It's a principle. So don't think that you are wiser than God. He says, not forsaking the assembling. So COVID has come. Then there's only mode of assembling is through online, through radio, through all this chat and this. And you are taking yourself out. You are actually making this happen to you. It's happening to you. Amen. And thank God, God willing, we are coming back on Sunday. Thank God. You have been lost for a long time. Some of you have gone missing for a long time. We pray that as we come together, we shall find you. And as you are coming, we pray that we not smell anything on you, wherever you have been hiding. Amen. So, principle, fellowship together. Now my last two principles, and we'll close, about a great change. Because there are many powerful principles that we need. After you are born again, a great change will come into your life when you are endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Look, when I read you Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Look, the flesh is fighting the spirit, lasting, and the spirit is also fighting the flesh. Now, who will win? There is a power back in the flesh. Hey, there's a power back in the spirit. You think your flesh is just that? Hey, your flesh is a spiritual thing, supernatural thing. Power is back in the works of the flesh. So you also need another power to back the works of the spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49. He says, Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And Bible says in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, including witnessing with your great change of life. Including witnessing with your life. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear friend, don't underestimate the works of the flesh that is working in you. Your flesh for boys, desire and lust for boys as a girl and as a boy, your the power for you to desire a woman is no joke at all. It's no joke at all. That's why they are always desiring boys. Boys are desiring girls. Girls are desiring boys. You are doing your something somewhere and a girl passes and your mind goes to something and then the boy passes and your mind goes here and everything is basa. That is why the Holy Spirit has been given to you. To give you the power. So it's no longer you. But then it's a principle. The principle that you must now allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Hallelujah. I mean, what can deliver somebody in drugs, smoking and drinking, just in a matter of seconds? Something that you have said, you have tried, you could not stop. Then, in a matter of seconds, you hear somebody pray for you, and you say you have stopped, and you never, you've done nothing again, save a few mistakes. Amen. What will do that? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you will see that you will still see the same thing. You will still see the same thing. You will still desire, you still feel the same, but there will not be desire. And even if the desire comes, there will be a power. Are you getting me, Jude? As you walk with your beloved, do you get it? Thoughts will come into your mind. Power will flow. Another source of power will be flowing. But you have to allow this, the power of the Holy Spirit, to flow another direction and let it be stronger. Because otherwise, you'll be surprised. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be surprised. And you listen to me. Those of you are beloved, and every day your beloved is coming, you alone, you and your beloved are sitting in a dark place for a long time. You wait till power starts. And you know something starts rising, and you see that you can't control it. You can't control it. Don't joke. Oh. You see, when you see electricity, you see this socket here. This power socket here. You see, they are harmless. They are harmless. Look at white. They are white. And they are harmless. You see, this socket that we are plugged in, it's white and it's harmless. It's like your beloved. White and harmless. But inside this socket, you remove it and remove the wires and touch it and see. One day I almost died when I went to touch live wire. You can see, I'll show you the scars, Bishop David, when we close. I almost died. When I was young, of course, by the grace of God. Hey! you see white little socket. White little socket. Baby face lady. You see, we are just sitting down under the mango tree. We are just sitting down in the parks and gardens. Eh? The power inside that thing, when it starts flowing, it can boil a kettle of water to start. Brrr. The water was cold, and then you plugged into the thing. The water started boiling. Brrr. Where? And some of you have already. May the Holy Spirit deliver you. Finally, after you're born again, a great change will come in your life if you learn how to pray and speak in tongues. Look, speaking in tongues is very powerful. Let me read a part of it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2-5. Let me read this in closing. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. You've made me to close my Bible. You are not going on. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Next verse. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Next verse. He that speaketh an unknown tongue, listen, edifieth himself. He that speaketh an unknown tongue, that's what? Edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So when you speak an unknown tongue, you are edifying yourself. Then the next verse. So when you speak in tongues, you receive edification. Hallelujah. You receive what? Edification. And Bible says what? I would that you all speak in tongues and accept it, whatever. But you see, if you speak in tongues, you also charge yourself in the Holy Spirit. You build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So speaking in tongues makes you to build yourself, edify yourself, charge yourself. That is why when you are having to pray for a long time and you are praying in tongues, pray. Many people don't pray in tongues because they don't understand. But I would say that if you pray in tongues, no one understands you. No one understands you. Only God. So how do you want? Why do you want to understand that from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. you are praying in tongues? And why must I pray for all this while? You are edifying yourself and you're also building yourself. Hallelujah. So, beloved, you are born again to change. If the Holy Spirit has come in you, a new man has come in you, that new man must be seen. Must be seen in the way you do things. The anger, the all those things, something must be seen. A change must occur. And I pray to God that the Spirit that have entered into you as you gave your life to Christ, you would obey the principle of feeding your spirit with the word of God, with preaching, and feeding your life with good fellowship and friends, so that you will mature a Christian as a Christian, and that great change will be seen in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. When that great change comes, you will see, that's when you see that Christianity is a very powerful thing. It's very nice and becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this powerful word that you have come to talk to us about. We pray that we allow ourselves for the Holy Spirit to change us. We renew our minds to the word of God. We expose ourselves to preaching. We will change our friends and walk with good friends so that this change will be allowed to be seen, will be manifest in my life, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. God bless you. I have an important announcement to make concerning we coming back to church. But before then, I want us to quickly take our offering. You came to church with an offering. Wherever you are, it's a principle. We are talking about principles. Give, sow, and reap. So give your offering, give your tithe. You know the numbers to give already. But just in case you are a visitor, you are new, the MTN is 055-874-2922. 055-874-2922. And then Vodafone is 050-940-0044. That's Vodafone, 050-940-0044. The bank details are also on the screen if you're on Facebook or whatever. But make sure you give a good offering tonight. It's a principle. It's a principle. We are talking about principles. Give a good offering tonight. And if you have your first and best and your tithe, make sure you give it. Some of you are waiting till Sunday and bring it to church. But it's also nice if you give it. So make sure you give it. We are coming for service. Okay, keep giving. Give your offering. Give a good offering. I'm going to pray over you. Father, bless each and everyone, wherever they are, that they are sowing. Bless them. Bless them. In the name of the Lord, may they reap what they are sowing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. 0558742922 and then 0509400044. Give a good offering. Give your tithe. You'll be blessed as you give. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will be blessed as you give. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. You listen to me wherever you are. You also want to give your life to Jesus. I want you to, for the next few seconds, say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
And make me your own.
And make me your own.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For accepting me.
For accepting me.
That from today.
That from today.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you are mine.
And you are mine.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. God bless you. The numbers on the screen, you can call for counseling. 0244-644-528. 0244-644-528. You can call for counseling. 0244-644-528. Wonderful. God bless you for coming to church, for listening. God has been with you wherever you are. Amen. Well, as you know, the government has lifted the restrictions, if you like, last the restrictions on our moving, with some restrictions still. So we are coming to church, God willing, on Sunday. We are coming to church, God willing, on Sunday. And as we can, service is for 2 hours. No, the government said it's for 2 hours. So the 2 hours is 2 hours. That's 10 to 12. But what's going to happen is that because we are going to do washing of hands, you know, sitting arrangement, all that alone can take 1 hour. So if you really want to come to church, then it's 9. It's 9 o'clock, but the service itself is 10 to 12, and all things are possible. So 9 o'clock, come, go through the protocols of, because there's going to be a strict adherence to the protocols of COVID, a very, very strict adherence. For instance, you can never enter this compound without a face mask. You can't. You can't enter. They will not even allow you to enter. If you're in your car, you don't have your mask on, or you don't show proof of your mask, you go out. You will not be allowed to come. You see, when you come, there will be washing of hands. There will be temperature guns will be here, not rare guns. Temperature guns will be here to check your temperature. We have chlorine carpet. Chlorine carpet, that means a special carpet in case you step on anybody's saliva or which had the COVID virus. When you step on it, at least, it will decrease this one. We have automatic hand sanitizers, dispensers at the toilet and elsewhere. So when you come, please, the people here, whatever they ask you to do, do it. You get whatever they tell you to do, just comply and do, so that you'll be safe. When you see all this, you yourself, you feel safe in the church. You feel safe in the church, and you want to come again. And you want to make this place, by the grace of God, with the presence of God and the backing of the Holy Spirit, want to make it the safest place that you can ever be. So that when you come, you'll be very comfortable. The chairs, when you come, you see that the chairs, there will be place you can't sit, the place you can sit, all for social distancing. All for social distancing and all this. So when you come, and we shall put it also on our various chat groups. We shall put on various chat groups how to come to church and everything. So please comply. If you are going to board a bus, if you are going to board a bus, and some of you have missed church, and you've missed church, so you want to come to church, that means that you should show your love by when you are boarding the bus, the first Sunday you pay, let me see that you really have missed church. So I'm telling you, I'm making the bus center leaders work easy for them. Because we want you to come to church, we would have said that, oh, no busing. But realize you've all missed church. So he said, where you have been going to town, come to church. You get it. And God will bless you. So try and come to church. Come with your mask and everything. And the children, please, there's not going to be any children's service. The children who are going to be here, who are going to go to Safe Chapel, are those within the age bracket of one Safe Chapel. That has been between the Safe Chapel age. That is the Pastor Kwame's Safe Chapel, not the children, I Church, K Church. If you come with children, you will sit with them. Nobody will take care of them. You will sit with them. And that one, we can make you sit with them because you came from home with them. So you came from the house, you will sit with them. And then if you are a family and you want to come together as a family, there's a number you can test to so that they will treat you as a family, so that they will give you a family seat where you and your family alone are there, because you came from home. If you, by the grace of God, you don't have any virus, but just in case, then you already are from the same place. So that one is up to you, but hopefully nothing like that will happen. They will ask you questions before you board the buses. Please don't lie. But if you lie and you come and we find you here, you'll not be happy. Because here, you will take the thermometer, whatever, temperature test and everything. So please comply. But let's make the church the safest place you can be. So God willing, on Sunday, all of you should come. And then let's flow at 12. It's from 9 to 12. But the first hour is for the COVID protocols and all those things. When you come, you find out there is no hugging, no handshake, nothing like that. So, spirit-led people, let's follow these principles and you'll be blessed. Amen. Wonderful. And so, and at every 12 o'clock, we have unity service. We all join in the unity service with our prophet, the bishop. And so, I mean, that one is going to be great. In fact, to us, that's our second service. To us, it's our second major service of the day. So let's all flow in it. I mean, we've spoken about it, but I'm just emphasizing it. Unity services. Look, Charlie, we don't, this COVID thing, and you don't know the way it's behaving. Do you get it? So we want to maintain a certain flow. Do a certain flow. So unity service will join at 12 also. Those of you who come to church, and maybe you have some, your phone, you want to join the unity, there'll be the church Wi-Fi will be made available for you. So maybe for the 2 hours or something, you want to sit here and watch the service, you want to sit on the, in the garden and watch service, you can flow. Because after the 12, maybe at 2, there can be leaders' meetings, there can be this. So, because you can't sit in one place for more than 2 hours, isn't it? Yeah, so flow in it and you'll be blessed. But we don't want to see what will happen on Sunday by the grace of God. And I believe that God will be on our side. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for how far you have brought us since this pandemic. And thank you that you are the one we still commit our lives to. You are the one we still depend on. We are the one we still look up to take us through till this thing is past. And that post it, you are the one who's going to make us sing our songs of praises and say that even with the pandemic, we still made it. It never took us away from you. It never also dried us up. We've rather become better. Rather become greener in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for keeping our lives, keeping our jobs, keeping our sources of wealth and everything. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Wonderful. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, fellowship, contribution, participation, and the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit. Be with us now forevermore. So our radio.
You are the word at the beginning.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0244-534-816. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0246-939-984. To support this program, send your donations via mobile money to 055 874 0508-2922 or 050-940-0044. You can join us in worship via YouTube and Facebook Live this and the coming Sundays at Bishop Ishmael Sam -DHMM from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the period that social gatherings, including church gatherings, are not rightfully allowed. Stay tuned and God bless you.